This is number three, cycle three. Today's date is September something or other. October 25th, 2017. My name is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Tanya Tedder on the Jane Lloyd Fund. And first, we will start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
Tanya Tedder.
And when were you born?
May 3rd, 1956.
And where were you born?
In Torrington, Connecticut.
May I have your parents' names, please?
My father is Newton Brainerd Davis, and my mom is Anne Schoonmaker.
And it's Anne with an E?
Yes.
And do you have siblings?
I do. An older brother, who is also Newton Brainerd Davis Jr., sister, Lauren Stewart Tyler, and the younger brother is Scott Kelso Davis.
Wonderful. Now, I know how you came to the area, but I want the full story. Tell me about your dad.
My dad was a race car driver, a car enthusiast, and he started... Well, several things in the area, and the first thing was the Lotus East, where he imported cars from London, the Lotus car. And that got him sort of ingrained in the area.
Oh, yes.
And with that, he ran the Lime Rock Lodge in Lime Rock, Connecticut.
How long did he own that?
Oh, I want to say maybe 10 years.
Okay. Was it at that time a restaurant or apartment?
It was rooms to rent, okay, as well as a restaurant and bar.
And did he have staff?
Yes.
Local?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody we know?
I'd have to research that.
It's okay. That's okay. That was an off-the-wall question.
He ran that, though, during the time that the Lime Rock racetrack evolved.
And he was involved in Lime Rock Racetrack?
Yes, and one of the founders of it.
And that started in 1956?
56.
Mm-hmm. With Jim Vail?
Yes.
How long was he involved with the racetrack?
Up until almost his death in 1994.
My word.
In various aspects. Mm-hmm. Not only founding it, but racing there, working there. In the end, he worked security.
What kind of a car did he race with?
Lotus.
Okay.
Porsche.
Oh, all right.
So there are several different kinds.
That'll do. That'll do. Now, you gave me a wonderful story about your first babysitting job.
Oh, yes. When I used to go to the track with my parents, and... There, we used to hang around with all the race car drivers, and they all had children, and so I started my first job there by helping all the drivers take care of their children. My dad found an old camper bus, put it in the infield, and secured a large area with some fencing around it, and all the race car drivers would drop their children for me to take care of during the day.
That's wonderful.
It was fun. It was a good time.
I always envisioned race car drivers as single. Mm-mm. Not with families.
I know. But that's not all. That's not true.
They always, wonderful.
And I think the area, the track itself,
it's beautiful.
It was really conducive to family, kids.
Yep.
So
they used to... It's a beautiful track. I think it's the most... I think Skip Barber told me it was the fifth most beautiful in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's big. It's
yes.
Very big.
It is.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to the Jane Lloyd Fund. How did the idea for this occur?
When Jane Lloyd passed away, her family... Well, let me back up just a second and say that the community helped Jane in her time of need when she was so sick. And they helped her in whatever she needed in maintaining her home and getting her home running, paying her bills. Mm-hmm. And without the community support, it would have been very difficult for her to live and be and die in the home that she so loved.
Mm-hmm. Where was that home?
On
Dugway
Road, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Dugway Road in Lime Rock.
It was the Hezekiah Goodwin?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Yep, small little cabin. And the family was very appreciative for the community and all they did and wanted to know, got together and thought, well, what can we do to give back? And there within their family, this idea of this fund came. And how can we help others in the same way that the community helped Jane? So I had a huge loss in my life and was struggling with what to do with that grief. And at that time, Jeff came to me and asked me if I would help start a fund in Jane's name and her honor to give back to community. And it just felt so right to me to do that for people in our community. Knowing funds would stay here, knowing we could help our neighbors. So I immediately said yes.
Good.
Didn't need to really think about it at all. And didn't know what to do, though, so I ended up going seeing Alice Yoakum, which is a local lawyer, and also a founder of the Berkshire Tucana Community Foundation. And she steered me toward talking to them. And I talked to, at that point, the president was Jennifer Dowley. And I spoke with her, and they are a 501c3, and she said that they can help us immediately with having no funds to start the fund. So, under their auspices, here we are. We've got a fund that takes care of families battling cancer in the Region 1 area. It's the six towns of Region 1. And
it's been in existence for 11 years?
12 years.
12
now.
Years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a long time for a local fund to exist and be funded.
It is. It really is. It really hits the heartstrings of people, anybody really, because cancer doesn't choose who it wants to affect. It affects everyone that, unfortunately, too many stories of how this disease will ravage a person's life. And so I think people knowing what we do and how we help and the money stays here, it's heartfelt for so many people and they want to give.
As it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's very much your passion.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful thing to do for the community, and in turn they respond.
Yes.
Now there's a board of advisors, I believe.
Yes, there is.
And who are the members of that?
Currently it is myself, Caroline Birchfield, and Donna Lloyd.
And you do fundraisers, do you not?
We do. We do. We have one that is our annual clam bake that happens every last Saturday of July, and that's our biggest fundraiser.
And describe that one in a little more detail.
It's a fun one. It's really a fun one. It brings about 75 volunteers who just come from anywhere and everywhere to help because they want to. I never have to call anybody. And we work really hard. And we laugh really hard.
Good.
So it's a good time for a good cause. And it is actually an event that is held at the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. And they have graciously donated the space every single year. We build a kiln, and which is about a 10-foot high kiln built out of 4x4 wood with river rocks in the middle, and we burn it into a light it on fire into a big bonfire.
Mm-hmm.
The river rocks get hot, you pull the wood away, you cover the rocks in the seaweed, and then the clams and the potatoes have been bagged, and the corn has been bagged, and there's lobsters in crates. All of this gets put onto the seaweed, mm-hmm. and then it's covered with these really heavy, thick tarps that have been soaked in water, and it steams, and in about 40 minutes we serve 300 people.
Good heavens.
So it's fun.
It sounds it. It sounds fun. And you said you have to give a little speech before these people, What do you say? What do you say in your mission speech?
My mission speech is that the Jane Lloyd Fund is not really me. It's not really the advisory board. It's all the faces in the crowd. They are the Jane Lloyd Fund. We couldn't be here without them. I'm going to cry. We may be the working force behind this, but we couldn't give money away if it weren't for all the people in the community that gave.
Yeah.
So that's my mission speech.
That's a wonderful. It's short and sweet and to the point, which is great. Now, you mentioned some specific people and organizations that help with the clam bake, such as Mike Fitting. What does he contribute?
He has been a sole source of and a wealth of knowledge for gaining things that we might need in the community. Mm-hmm. He goes to the Montgomery Lodge to borrow these enormous barrels to heat our water.
Yep.
He's there for the firehouse. He helps organize things there. We work with the fire company in gaining tents and chairs and tables. The Salisbury Ambulance helps us with tables and chairs.
The Congregational Church,
it's Camp Sloan. It's a community effort. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Who else? The SWASA, who donates the space.
Well, that covers a large portion of the community.
It's a lot of us. Yeah, it really has
to be, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
To get it set up, mm-hmm. to get your supplies, to feed people, to clean up afterwards.
Right. The town garage, they offer us space to use to clean the clams. So the town gets involved. There's an organization we haven't been able to put this on without this gentleman. His name is Ray Zukowski.
Oh boy.
And he comes from the Greenfield area of Massachusetts. He's an ex-police chief. And he and four or five other gentlemen come, and they are the reason that we can put this on. Mm-hmm. And they come in their own time, no charge, and give their time and energy and spirit in helping us put this on.
Do they provide the clams and the lobster and so forth?
They've helped us. No, we get it through a fish source, but it's through them that we found the fish source.
Ah, okay.
They are the catalyst for us finding the fish source. But they bring their equipment. Like, it mm-hmm. takes these long, long rakes.
Yes.
It takes the barrels to wash the clams. It takes the heavy gloves. So they bring all the apparatus and tools.
I see. And you have another fundraiser, a smaller fundraiser in March.
Mm-hmm. In March we have a dance at the White Hart Inn. And that is a local band that has, again, offered their time so we can raise money. They don't charge us. It's a gift.
Is that the band from Indian Mountain School?
Yes, it is. It's parents of children at Indian Mountain School, and I was going to find you the name of it, and I can't think of it.
That's okay.
But yes, they come every March. We have smaller ones, like we partnered with the John Rice Scholarship Fund mm-hmm. From the high school.
Are they the ones that have the lake plunge?
Yes, it's the lake plunge that happens usually early, around Easter time, whenever that happens, somewhere, whenever that falls in the year. So it's usually around Easter. And John Rice was the husband of Denise Rice, mm-hmm. our old tax collector.
Yes, I have done Denise.
Yeah.
Bless
so, we partner with them and do that ice plunge. Oh. There's things that pop up throughout the year, like the Indian Mountain School will also have Pink Sock Week, which is sports teams wear pink, they sell pink hats, pink socks, pink wristbands. So that's another fundraiser. The Salisbury School has also done like maybe a dress down day, mm-hmm. and we will collect, be the recipient of funds from that day. Kids have had lemonade stands.
That's great.
So that's great. All ages, all walks of life, all parts of community offer help.
It truly is a community endeavor.
Mm-hmm. It really
and
is.
All ages.
Yes.
And all ages.
Yeah.
What's the process that a cancer family goes through to receive some of these funds?
Once they have been diagnosed, they take their diagnosis to either a pastor, a social service agent, and they through them there's an application process. The application process then goes to the Berkshire Tacana Community Foundation. They review it, and then the story comes to us advisors. We don't know names. That is a very private, and we respect that. Unless they want us, you know, unless the people, the recipients are okay with us knowing. But it usually is kept quiet, private. Okay. And then we okay whether we will release funds for their help. We offer three different times of helping. The first request is for a $2,500 request. The second request is for $1,500. The third request can be for $1,000. So within 1 year's time, they can make those three requests.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And often we hear that it's that amount of money that puts people above and beyond and helps them get above the struggle that they're in to help pay a mortgage, electric bill, phone bill, gas, fuel, a car payment.
Maybe so it's not restricted to something that's strictly medical?
No. No, it's mainly for helping them live day to day, and that's our motto, helping cancer patients day to day. What it takes. And not only the cancer patient, we will help families of the patient as well. If they need to maybe stay with the family member somewhere, we'll offer to help.
So if somebody was diagnosed with cancer and they had to go to Peter Brent Brigham in Boston, mm-hmm. then the money could be used for hotel bills while they're staying.
Right.
I see.
Right.
Alrighty. Mm-hmm. Can you give me a rough idea of how many clients you have in a year? How many people you help?
Just about to review this with them for this year, but I'm going to say 5 to 7 families. It could be a little bit more, mm-hmm. Because it also depends on the level that they're asking, which request they're asking, whether they're asking for a first, a second, or third, and then how much money we have.
And how much money do you generally give away in a year?
Generally around $30,000.
You got to raise an awful lot of money with the clams and the dances and the pink socks to do that.
We do. And luckily we've been able to do it.
It's a generous community.
Mm-hmm. It's a generous community. We have, there's been 2 years in a row that we did have to close the fund because we ran out of money, which shows the need, and we mm-hmm. then had to step it up and yep. try to raise more money. We haven't turned anyone away. We've had to ask people to wait, unfortunately. Waiting when you have cancer is an awful, awful word.
Oh, it would be.
And it breaks your heart. But we've always given.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to this that I haven't covered?
I think it's, although it's such a ravenous disease and it's so hard to deal with when you're in it, but what we do is, it's such, it makes you feel so good.
And you give them hope.
You give them hope. You're giving back hope. Mm-hmm. And the stories, the thank you notes that we receive afterwards when people have been, like, thinking they're going to lose their home. They just are devastated.
Yeah.
And they don't have to. That is the thing that makes you feel so good about doing this work, because you've saved somebody's life.
Absolutely.
So you only wish you could save them health-wise, mm-hmm. but you know that you've saved an emotional part of their life that they haven't thought that they were going to lose. So
it's a wonderful, wonderful endeavor.
It is.
Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for having this. I'm grateful to do it.
Thank you again.